morning. We appreciate the good thoughts that were brought out in the Sunday school. I guess we can go on and have a good Bible study on that summertime. I know that Brother White can get it all together. Have a good Bible study on that. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? We want to hold on what we have. Hold God's unchanging hand. And I believe the scripture said one place, talking along that line, that about some men who had hazarded their lives for this thing. The thing that you and I have the opportunity, I don't know how many of us have it this morning, hope we all have, but the thing that is available to you and I this morning, right here, today, is available to us. As Brother Jim said, it was a costly thing. It was a costly thing. Came on down to the time of Jesus Christ. We know, I guess he would have went on into that probably. But he paid a great price to pass this thing on down to you and I. And since that time, men, like we said earlier, have died and went through all kinds of persecutions and ridiculed, and even the Jesus himself and his immediate apostles in the history of the church down through the ages of time. The make-believe church in the world today don't know anything about the church. They don't know anything about living for God, very little. But men, for this truth that is available to you and I, this life, this sanctified life, that's what our inheritance is, here in this world anyway, is available to everyone this morning. But I want to tell you, as he said, it cost a great price. It did not come cheap. And men have suffered, and Jesus did it, like I said, and men and women have hazarded their lives and denied themselves and slept in the deserts and poverty and persecutions and run out of town and all those kind of things to preserve and pass down what you and I, what is available to us this morning. And we take it so light sometimes. I never in my generation, my life, and it's getting worse, I never seen so many selfish people in all my life. I never seen so many people that take everything for granted, take it all for granted. Don't want to pay no price. Don't want to suffer. Don't want to deny themselves. Don't want to do without anything. Just want everything handed to them on a silver platter. Just hand it to me. I don't want to have to give nothing. I don't want to have to... Who was it? David, was it? Wanted to buy a piece of land for something or other over there. I believe it was one of them, David or somebody. And the fellow said, no, you just take it. David wanted to use it for something for the Lord. Something that he wanted to use this for the Lord's work. And the guy said, just take it. I'll give it to you. And he said, I won't take it that way. I wouldn't receive anything free and try to use it for the Lord. I wouldn't accept it. And he wouldn't accept it. He wouldn't accept a gift. He wouldn't accept it free because he was going to use it for the service of the Lord. And you and I this morning, I pray that we would not want anything from God that didn't cost anything. We shouldn't want a thing from the Lord. We should not desire anything from God that didn't cost anything. May the Lord help us this morning. I appreciate this. Thoughts were brought out this morning. I feel like we needed those. And we desire your prayers this morning. The Lord has called men, women, to carry on the work of the Lord and to pass this down, pass it down to the next generation. He's had ministers and workers and saints that will die. Like I said a while ago, we've got people right in our midst that'll die. They'll lay right down their lives and die. Well, thank the Lord. Brother, Sister Tiny coming in. I just sang about them about a few minutes ago.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. But, like I said, they are not only people in the past that have been willing to give their life and suffer for the gospel's sake, but we've got people like that today.
That's right.
Lots of number of them that just lays their life right on the line. They'll just die. They'll just die. Old Brother McCoy said one time, talking to the men that he worked with there in the plant for years, he tried to live a Christian life, or did live it, before them. He testified to them how he trusted God, how he served the Lord, how he loved the Lord. And one day he had a heart attack, and they wanted to rush him off to the hospital or something or other. And anyway, I believe that was the time. And he told them people, he said, "I'd rather lay right down there in that aisle and die than I would to go back on what I've been testifying to you fellows around here." That's kind of what God wants you and I to be. I'll lay right down there and die before I would back up an inch. Before I give up one thing that God has given me, I'll die for it. I wouldn't go back on it for it. And Brother McCoy, they said, "Just take me home." They took him home and God healed him. God healed him. Thank the Lord. Well, we desire your prayers as we look into the Word a little while. In Proverbs, the 6th chapter, 6th verse, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provide her meat in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." I'm thinking this morning about little things. Little things. Brother CEO wrote a book about little things, I believe, something like that. Little things. And I believe that he made a statement that when we get to the place that where little things, so-called little things, don't mean anything, we're already in trouble with the Lord. We're already in trouble with the Lord. When we get to the so casual and so unconcerned and so lackadaisy and so slothful, I guess if we had a text and thought it would be little things or slothful. Yet a little sleep, just a little bit. Just a little bit. That don't seem like much, just a little bit. I got this thought a few days ago from our children downstairs and talking to them. And I asked them how many had prayer that morning before they come to school. Only about a third of them. Even less than that. Shame on the devil. Shame on the parents. On the children. I asked them how many brushed their teeth. About half of them. Shame on your children. I told them I'd give $10,000 if I had a good, solid, sound set of teeth. I asked them how many washed their face. Well, some of them didn't even wash their face. I'm telling bad things on you. But I'm bringing it out to bring a point. I was telling them, if we start the day off like that, we're going to have probably a bad day all day long. You know, and that's how important. Don't seem like very important just to get up and wash your face a little bit, or comb your hair, or have a little prayer or something another. But that one little thing can affect your whole day. It'll affect your whole day. Just get up, little slugger, just drag it around and can't get up and can't get around and come into school or into church, look like you've got the world on your shoulder. You're going to have a bad day that day, most of the time. But just a little bit, just a little bit. And I was telling how that just little things like saying our pledges, even that, you know what happens? We stand up, we say a pledge to the Bible. Pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word, and so forth and so on. And we try to encourage them to stand up straight and pay attention what they're doing. Is that important? How we need to train our children for the little things, the little things. Because if we do not do the little things, we won't do the big things either. That's where the problem is. We're trying to teach them when they say the pledge to the flag, if they stand up straight and put their hand up here, their hand down here, and stand up straight. Is that important to teach children things like that? Is it important to wash your hands before you eat? Oh, no, no, no. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Yes, it has a lot to do with it. If we start out life like that, we're going to be dragging through life all of our lives. If we have no energy and we have no awakeness and we have no alertness and we have no concern about little things, they'll grow into big things. And the first thing you know, you're going to be growing up a man or a woman that is going to be lazy, you're going to be indifferent, you're going to not going to get along with it, and it all started back there when you got up this morning and didn't wash your face. It all started that night when you just didn't take no time to pay any attention to the little things, to the little things. The little thing the old Jews say about the Jews, they have a kind of reputation of having money, and I understand that their thing is, philosophy is, save the pennies, and the dollars will take care of themselves. Save your pennies, and the dollars, you don't have to worry about the dollars. They'll just mount up themselves. I believe that's a good philosophy this morning. I believe if you and I will get our minds and our thoughts and get down to thinking about so-called little things, and I believe this is where the devil works our hearts. I believe this is where the devil undermines us. I believe this is where he beguiles us. That's not important. This is important. And this is why that I feel like that many times that we find ourselves in a slothful, sluggish, sleepy condition somewhere or another. Somewhere or another, we are neglecting the little things, so to speak. What did he say here? A little, just a little sleep and a little slumber. But what did he say it will do for you? A little falling of the hand to sleep, so shall thy poverty come. Just a little walking on us. Spiritually, he's talking, I'm concerned about spiritual things this morning. And just a little sleepiness, just a little laziness, just a little unconcern, just a little lack of paying attention will lead us into greater big things, and first thing you know, nothing ain't going to be very important. Nothing will be important. And we'll find ourselves that everything that we do is not very important because we didn't take care of the little things, of the little things. And so, little, just a little sleep, just a little bit, it said. Not a whole lot. You don't have to just be unbelieving and you don't have to go out into the world and do some great thing to bring on poverty. Just a little bit of slumbering on the job.
Just a little laziness, spiritually speaking. Just a little lack of pressing a little bit will produce poverty. We know what poverty is, don't we? That's when we're poor. That's when we're needy. That's when we lack things. And that's when we need help. And so this morning, I pray that the Lord will give us the grace and the courage and the help to bring out the burden on our heart this morning. A little sleep and a little slumber. A little falling of the hand and soul, but it said, and so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Leads us right into a place where we're going to find ourselves in a rundown, unconcerned, lack of spiritual vitality, a lack of spiritual life, and it all started just because we became a little sleepy, a little slumbering. We neglected our prayer, little prayer. We neglected to be watchful about what we do. We got a little bit. Over there in Ecclesiastes, I believe it is 10 and about 1, it said something about here, a little thing, 10 and 1 it is. May the Lord help us this morning. This pride, we had a message on that in the camp meeting, I believe. This pride caused the ornament of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So does a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. So does a little folly. Just like the pride will spoil a thing, as Brother Kimball's message was, and just try to put up a big stink and get into the medicine and so forth and mix it up and defile it and corrupt it. And so it will call it, said, send forth a stinking savor. So there's a little folly. Just a little foolishness. It don't take very much foolishness to put a damper on our spiritual life, on our spirituality. Just a little foolishness. Oh, just a little folly. Just a little carelessness. Just a little indifference. Just a little unconcern. Just a little lack of interest will bring back poverty, spiritually speaking. And it said it will bring folly. Just a little folly. And him a reputation for wisdom honor. Just a little bit of folly. Just being a little foolish and just a little bit of joking and jesting and just frivolous things. And you say, that ain't nothing harm with that. But, Lord, it's not so much what you might say that little thing is, but it's what it leads to is what happens. It's what it brings forth and what it produces in us. And this is why you and I need. This is why the saints and the ministers have stood and preached, and the Bible teaches, and the church stands for it and teaches it also. And when we begin to name a little sleep, it ain't because that we're fanatic, or because we're a radical, or because we're narrow-minded, or something or another, but it's because that the Bible teaches you and I that just a little bit of that will lead to something else. It's what it leads to. It's what it goes up to. It's how it grows. It's how it has effect on you and I. That's why the danger of these kind of things. The way of being sensitive. We need to be very sensitive about the things that affect our spiritual lives. The things that dull our relationship with God. That dull our mind. That confuses us. We need to be alert about those kind of things. And therefore, if we take care, I'm still believing this morning, if we will take care of the so-called little things, or the big things will take care of themselves. We'll just naturally, if we'll guard our lives, and guard our spirits, and guard our ways, and don't give in to a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding in the hand, we'll not have to face poverty. We won't have to face it this morning, and therefore we can be rich and so forth. The Bible says, here in 1 Corinthians 5, I believe it is something or another, and about 6 it said a little leaven. It said, I believe that's where it's at. I hear it put out there for in 6, verse, and glory not, and know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You just put just a little bit of leaven in there, and it begins to work. You know how that works in the bread, as you put a little yeast in there, and it just takes just a little pinch, and you put it in there, and it'll get in there, and it'll get to working, and it'll get to, that dough will begin to move around, and it will leaven the whole lump. And so it is, the Bible says, a little leaven, I will leaven the whole lump. And you just allow just a little bit of the world to creep into your life, and it'll affect your whole life. You just allow a little bit of sleepiness. You just allow a little folly. You just get a little careless. You get a little indifferent. You just get a little lack, a little unconcerned. And you just give a little room to the devil. And you just be a little careless in your lives, in your mannerism, in your walk, in your talk, in your appearance, or whatever it might be. You just get a little bit lax, and you see what happens then. I'll tell you what happens. A whole movement of people have lost their whole inheritance, lost their inheritance. As Betty Jim was saying a while ago, how people have lost their inheritance, and how they used to be congregations of the Church of God just 100 years ago, had churches all over the world, and not just in the United States, but the Church of God that preached and stood for the same truth that we're trying to preach this morning, and stood for it, and lived it, and it was spread all over the world. And going into foreign nations and congregations rising up and people, miracles being formed and healing and everything was taking place and God was blessing and men were going out into the work of the Lord, dedicated and consecrated. But you know what happened was just a little thing began to creep in. A little illness began to creep in. And so it was a bunch of this main preachers, they got together, and they figured because they didn't wear a necktie. And somebody said there's nothing wrong with a necktie. Well, I'll tell you, it caused a lot of people to lose their inheritance. It must be a bad thing. There had to be a necktie. You just wear it on there and put the thing on. So, some of these preachers, some of the main ones, they say we've got to figure it out. Well, because we don't wear a necktie, maybe we have to put one on. And that way we could the businessmen and the bankers and the lawyers, they all wear neckties. If we just let down and wear a necktie, maybe they'd more of them would come to church, and more of them would get saved. That's where a whole room, a thousand people, lost their souls. Lost their lives, lost their inheritance, lost everything, just the one little body, and the men begin to wear the necktie and put it on, just a little body, that's all it is. No possible reason for wearing a necktie. There's only one reason to wear a necktie, and that's pride. That's all it is. It's an unnecessary article of dress. It's no need, it has no purpose whatsoever. It's just put on that for decoration. That's all it is. And therefore, that's why that the trains, the ministers, it is because that it's such a horrible thing. That it's a little thing that spoil the vine. The little foxes, he said, spoil the vine. And you know what happened when the men got to wearing the necktie and getting in there. Then the women folks come along. All the preachers, the ministers had taught in the Bible teaches against wearing jewelry and rings and veils and all those kind of things. And the saints and the Bible teaches against that. We're not running around here. We're not supposed to wear rings, near rings, and all that kind of stuff. And the beads and the big old pens and all those kind of things. And so what happened was, when the men began to wear the necktie, well, the women folks said that if they're going to wear the necktie, what's wrong with wearing beads? What's wrong with putting on a nice there? A bright, shiny pin. And so the women began to wear the pin. They began to wear the necklaces and the jewelry and the earrings. And then they began to come along. Well, if they can do that then, and down they go. And thousands of people have lost their soul. A lot of little things that started. I tell you, it's important that we don't need the Bible teaches against wearing these things, rings and gold and all that kind of stuff, and earrings and dipping yourself out with pins and all those kind of things. And then I once got along there, and the Bible teaches that it's a glory for a woman to have long hair, and it's a glory, it's given to her for her glory. And so what happens is, every time you cut a little bit of it off, you cut some of your glory off. That's what it is. And therefore this morning, what's wrong with trimming it up? I tell you what's wrong with trimming it up. The first thing you know, you have it half cut off. And every time you cut it, you cut some of your glory off. But you know what happened back there then? Them women then, when they seen the men all dressing up with their ties and their tight glasses on and their collar buttons and all those kind of things. And then they began to dress up too, and they began to cut their sleeves off. The Bible teaches you and I how to dress modest. It says there, and modesty means how to cover our nakedness. And we don't teach the saints to wear the long sleeves just because it's a fad or because it's man's idea. The Bible teaches you and I how to cover our nakedness. It's a standard of the church of God. And to wear your sleeves down where it's supposed to be. And wear your dresses down where they matters. Where you can sit down without everybody seeing your knees. That's the Bible. That's the Bible teaches that. And so it is. These are the things that causes people to fall. This is why people lose their inheritance. And you know what happened was, the men, there was woman finally, that came to old Brother Pinkerton, he had stood with her, and he fought against the compromise, and he fought against the letting down, and he stood there, and so he tried to stay with it. And one time in camp meeting, Brother Pinkerton told me this, I knew him before he died, and he said, they got up one woman came in, and one of the oldest that had been one of the same. Had her hair all cut and curled and fixed up. Who had had nice, long, modest hair and fixed in a modest way. And then she came in. Oh, she got up testifying. Oh, I just feel so free since I got my hair cut and curled. I just feel so good. Oh, and one of the main preachers who had been one of the main preachers and said, hey, sister, and you look a lot better too. And you look a lot better too. And her brother Pinker and he said, I couldn't take no more. I got up and left and quit. And so it was. I tell you, the little things that are important this morning. And if you and I, if we let down, if we don't watch how we dress ourselves and how we conduct ourselves, that these things are not put in there just to fill up space. And they're in the Bible. Why? Why would it be the Bible when there's only 66 books in here? And when the Bible said, if all that he said are done, have been written, the word itself got not a healthy book. So that God condensed it all down and put it in this book. And therefore, if it's in here, it must be important. And when it's said for the women are the dress and modest apparel, that means men too. That means men too. We don't wear short sleeves either. We don't wear short pants either. And we don't wear that exposing ourselves. Their shirts all unbuttoned and trying to show her hair and dress if we had one, all that kind of stuff. That's contrary to. And therefore, this morning, God help us. The Lord's been stirring my heart about these kind of things. I believe maybe this is where the problem is. We let down on the little things. And the first thing you know, we got big things among us. First thing you know, we ain't got no faith. I want to get into that a little bit later. And there's a purpose, and if God has a purpose in teaching these kind of things, because it ain't so much maybe how bad they are, but it's what they lead to that causes a problem. It's what they lead to. And the whole movement of the so-called glory had to come along and put a handle on themselves and call themselves the first church of God now. But anyway, I bless God this morning. It all started just a little body, a little body, a little nervous. That's all it was. Trying to draw people. Bless God this morning. If you and I, if you're going to draw your loved ones, if you're going to draw your companions, and your children, bless God this morning, it's going to be not because if you try to be like them, be like the world, or try to pacify them, it's going to be because you and I have taken a stand for the truth, and we take a stand for the word of God, and we dress right, and we live right, and the places we go, just a little fire over yonder, a little fire over there, and the first thing you know, are you lost or your vision, are you lost? You've lost your zeal, you've lost your faith, you've lost your foot, you're confused, and you're mixed up, and you don't know where you're at anymore. And it all started with just a little bit of folly.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord bless us this morning. Lord bless us this morning. We're living in a most sinful and adulterous generation. We're living in a time when people have a form of godliness and they deny the parallel of love. They have no faith. There's a reason for not having faith. There's a reason for being confused. There's a reason for not having a vision. There's a reason for that this morning. And many times it's because that we didn't take care of the little things. God help us this morning. I appreciate the Sunday school. That stirred my soul. It caused me to realize that you and I can lose this too. I'm going too far. I've sacrificed too much. I've traveled too many miles. I've given up too much. I'm to fool around and lose my inheritance. And lose my inheritance. And I've also went too far to pass something down to you folks here. May God bless you. I don't know how much longer I'll be here. Not even thinking, concerning about it. But anyway, about that, I want to be able to leave you in the church. I'm going to leave. I want to be able to this truth that the Bible teaches, that the state of God teaches. Oh, yeah, there is a church of God. And it's not in Genesis. It ain't the Baptist. It ain't the Nazarene. It ain't nothing else. It's the church of God. And it's made up of people who are saved and walking in the light and the truth of His Word. That's what it is this morning. You can't mix it up. God told them, Brother White don't out. He told them people, he said, when you go over there, don't mingle with those folks. Don't give your daughters to them and your sons to them. Don't let them marry them. Why? Because he said they will turn your hearts away from God. And they done the very same thing. They did the very thing. Did the very thing. I tell you, do that. We need to instill our children's mind and our children's lives too. You don't just go out here and marry somebody who comes along. Amen. You marry among the saints, and you marry somebody who's saved and sanctified and established in the things of God. That's the only kind of people you marry. You don't just marry anybody else. The Bible said if your wife be dead or your husband be dead, you're free to marry again only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. You can't marry anybody who comes along. You only marry in the Lord. And so it is this morning. Oh, boy, help us. These little things. Oh, just a little cutting and a little curling and a little fixing up. And our little children going along here. I'm going to tell you this morning. If you cut their hair, they ain't going to know when they get up they're not supposed to cut it. They ain't going to know that. Oh, the Bible said, train up a child in the way it should go. And when it's there, it won't depart from that, bless God. And so it is. If you want your little girl to grow up, to be modest, and have the fear of God upon her shoulder, little boy, you want if you have it, you're going to have to start out with them right now. And just a little folly, a little cares, a little indifference, and you're going to spoil, not only spoil, you're going to corrupt that little child. and you're going to have to do that too. And the little clothes that you make, you don't go around and decorate them all out. You know what happens when you get your little girl and you begin to sew on and decorate it all up and adorn it with lace and frilly things and all that kind of stuff. What you're going to do, you're going to plant pride in that little child's heart. And when it gets up that's so old that it wants to get saved and it wants to live for God, and it's going to find out that God's Bible teaches it to be modest and plain and clear and simple. And what's going to happen is that little child is going to know right from wrong. It says, Mama dressed me like this. Mama let me do this. Mama said it was all right. And so it's not all right. And therefore you spoil, you maybe sometimes, God help us this morning, you and I could be the very reason for our children losing their souls. That's serious, isn't it? That's real serious this morning. So yes, we not only teach the old ones, the women folks, the men folks, to dress modest and to avoid the little follies and the foolishness, and going here, going there, just a little television, a little folly, a little ball game, all that kind of stuff. But the first thing you know, you ain't got no standard. You don't know where you're at. You don't know what you believe. You don't know what you stand for. And the preacher gets up and preaching, it all seems foreign to you, and you don't know where you're at this morning. God help us. The Bible said without a vision, other people perish. You lose your vision. If I lose my vision, if we lose our vision, we will not hear that this morning. Therefore, we must stand for the truth and stand for the right, stand for holiness and godliness and modesty and carefulness and sincerity and in truth and live for God and set out and give over and measure up and walk in the line, obey the truth. We must do that. Are we going to lose our inheritance? That's what we're going to do. We're going to lose our soul if we're not very careful. And therefore this morning, just a little folly, just a little foolishness, just a little slumber, just a little sleep, just a little foxes spoil the barns, he said. And just a little leaven will leaven the whole lot this morning. Oh, God help us. You just take in just a little bit of the world. You just let a little bit of the world come into your home or come into your life. You just let some of it start taking in. You just thought, this don't seem so bad. That don't seem so bad. You just start taking a little bit of it. You start dismingling with it a little bit, and I'll guarantee that pretty soon it'll get a hold of you or me or whoever it might be. Oh, God, I pray the Lord will help us that we won't bow down to these things, that we won't bow down to these old fads and styles of the world that comes along, and those old tight dresses and worldly shoes and worldly hairdos and all that kind of stuff. That God is against those kind of things, and if we teach and the Bible teaches against them. God is against them. But the church has always stood against them. I stand against them. And the Lord help us this morning. I mean, if we just try to take on a little bit of the world, I want to dress in such a way that I won't, I'll kind of fit among the saints, and I'll fit among the world too. God help us this morning. I not be ashamed of God. I not be ashamed of His truth. I not be ashamed of the standard of the Word of God. I ain't preaching anything contrary to the Word of God this morning, and therefore, the Jesus, and we tell our children downstairs quite often, if they be ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of them. If you and I are ashamed of the walk right out here in this county where we live, and right in the town where we live, and hold up a real godly standard of living, of holiness, and righteousness, and godliness, and modesty, and plainness, and sincerity and truth and love and all these things. If we don't hold it up, then we're going to lose the thing. You'll lose your soul. You'll lose the teaching of the truth. God help us this morning. And they were talking to the children the other morning. Oh, Daddy, oh, for me, your scripture. It said, he that heareth my word and doeth them. I like him unto a man who built his house on a rock. Oh, I got a new thought out of that. You and I, if what we put in our house is what's going to be there. If we put shoddy merchandise in, we'll have a shoddy life. If we live careless and indifferent, we just take it lightly. Oh, don't hurt nothing to miss prayer meeting. Don't hurt nothing to miss Sunday night service. Don't hurt nothing to go out and learn to take a little bit of the follies of the world. All that kind of stuff. I tell you, I don't want to do anything that I wouldn't want to be doing when Jesus comes. I wouldn't want to be. Somebody said, is it all right? I've had people ask me, is it all right to go to that place? I said, would you like to be there when Jesus comes? Would you like to be there when Jesus comes? No, I wouldn't want to be there. I said, well, don't go there then, bless the Lord. Oh, God, help us this morning. I think about my older sister, bless her heart over there. I remember years ago, of course, she's not in the truth, and she hasn't had this kind of teaching, this kind of instruction, but she knows enough. I'm going to say again this morning, it ain't what we don't know bothering us this morning. It's what we're not doing that we do know. That's where the problem comes in. God may require no more out of me than I'm able to do. He don't require me to do something that I don't know about. But my own older sister, some years back, we were talking about cutting her hair and all those kind of things, and I know that the people that she's with and the one that we grew up around. I remember the old preachers back 50 years ago. And more, they used to preach against these things. They preached against cutting your hair. They preached against wearing makeup. They preached against going to the picture shows. They preached against their things. And now, just there at the funeral while back, and they're the most ungodly looking people you ever saw. My own nephew's wife up there, singing, leading up, singing a special at the funeral with big old earrings dangling down, big old hair fixed up there, and rings about a half a dozen on her hands, and all those kind of things. This is what happened, my friend, this morning. God help us. What my sister said years ago, we were talking to her about hair. Oh, she said, well, it's the long hair, it's too hard to take care of, it's too much trouble, all that kind of stuff. But she said, I want my hair to grow out before I die. I don't want to meet the Lord with short hair. She's pretty close to 80 years old and still got short hair. God help us this morning. These things are important. I'm going to tell you something. And when you come down to face death, and you come down to face God, these little so-called things, if you know they're condemned by the word of God, they're going to be a mountain in your sight. They're going to be a mountain when you look at them, when you look at death. When you look at death, and you look at going into eternity, and you consider meeting God, what you're saying now, oh, I know the Bible teaching it, I know the preacher teaches that, I know I ain't supposed to do that, but it's just a little old thing, and it don't amount to very much. But would you like to meet God with it this morning? He that heareth my word and doeth it them, I liken unto a man that built his house on a rock, and the flood came, and the flood, the wind blew, and beat upon the house, but the house stood because it was built on a rock. Oh, I was telling the children the other morning, the thing, the stuff we put in this thing, the things we put in our lives, if we don't have some standards up, and we don't have some convictions up, and we don't have something that we are doing, we will have nothing. And he said, he that heareth my word and doeth it not, I left him in that little house on the sand, and the rain come, and the wind blew, and the house fell. That's why you will fail, and I will fail, if we don't put the right material in our house. Amen. If we don't put the right material, if we don't live a godly, sincerely, dedicated, careful, sensitive, I like that word sensitive. It took me a long time to find that word. I tried to get something for years, and finally I got the word sensitive. Very sensitive. Jesus, the Lord said one time, he said, when you touch one of my little ones, you touch the apple of my eye. That's a very sensitive thing. Just a little. Well, that goes back to little things, don't it? You get a little speck in your eye. Get a little speck in the apple of your eye. And you feel like it's a big grain of sand or something like that. And it may be so small, you can't even hardly see it with a magnifying glass. But it feels like a big grain of sand in there. That's why little things are like that. And so it is this morning. The little thing, the little careless, the little unconcerned, not correcting, let them go. Don't correct my children. God help us this morning. Oh, I pray God to help us today. The devil, he come along.
And what did he happen? He come along and he invaded the television. The television was invaded in hell. That's where it was invented at. It was invented in hell. That's where it came from. It is the one most corrupt thing in the world today. It is the one thing that has corrupted more people. It has caused more separation, divorces. It's caused more children to wind up in hell. It's caused more juvenile delinquents. It's caused more murder. It's caused more abortion. It's caused more separation. It's caused more family problems than anything that the devil has ever come up with before. It's corrupt inside and out. There's nothing good about it this morning. And so it is this morning. If we want that thing, we're going to be defiled. We're going to defile ourselves. God help us this morning. That thing is a corrupt thing. It corrupts your mind. It gives people a false sense of value. They look, these people sit around. I go over there in the head of the house in Kentucky. And right in that way, you got to drive up and keep going up and up into the very head of the house. And what have you got? What have you got? You got a bunch of young women over there with their dresses right along there, with their hair sticking straight up like a monkey or something like that, with their eyes all painted up, and they look like a Jezebel, and they've got about a half a dozen or a dozen rings on their hands, and they've got no respect for, they'll sit down and their legs all stuck up, and you no respect and no reason. I'm talking about young ladies that do these kind of things, and where did it come from? Every bill. It came from the television. That's where it came from. It is a destroyer of mankind. It's a destroyer of souls. And I know some of you have a problem with it being in your home, and maybe you can't get it out. But bless God, you don't have to watch it. You don't have to watch it. And you don't have to let your children watch it. When my husband bought that either. You don't have to do that. In other words, you're going to correct your children. And I see the effects of it. God help us this morning. Get a hold. I feel like, I told my wife yesterday, I feel like I'm burdened, I'm troubled. I've been weeping to God. I feel like it's time that we get down to business with God. That we get saved our souls. That we get off of this treadmill and this carelessness and indifference and lack of interest and lack of burden, a lack of prayer. A lack of sincerity. God help us, we'll lose our souls. We'll lose the truth. We'll lose our inheritance if we don't guard these things. God help us. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I ain't been preaching it enough. Well, by the grace of God, I want the Lord to help us today. I want to come down before Him and say, Paul said, I haven't shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. God help us this morning. You can't do these things. You can't do these things. If you put shoddy material in your house, it won't stand the test. It won't stand the storm. When the big trial comes, when cancer comes, when a stroke comes, when sugar diabetes comes, when death comes, you won't be able to face it because you have put shoddy merchandise in your house.
Amen.
You put rotten material. You got out an old worm eating wood and put it in there. May the Lord help us this morning. Talk about that, I always remember a story. Brother William heard him tell it the first time many years ago. And he said a man was a good builder. He was a first-class carpenter. And he'd worked for this company for many years.
very trustworthy man. And the man just left it up to him. He done first class work. So finally the man told the man that worked for him, he said, I want you to build the best house you've ever built. Don't you spare any money. Don't you spare any material. You just build the very best house, just like if you was going to build it for yourself. Just build it the way you, but just don't spare. And the man went in, and he began to buy cut-rate materials. And he began to cover up things in the wall, put in cheap plumbing, cheap material, and all those cans. And then he covered it all over. He was a master carpenter, and he was able to put an outward appearance on and make it look nice. And he got it all fixed up just right. And when he got through, the man, he said, well, here's the house is done. The man took the key out and he said, well, this is your house. I've always wanted to do something good for you, so I'm going to give you this house. I'm going to give you this house. Oh, there's a good thought in that saying. And you and I, God has given us all the material we need to build a good house out of. He's given us all the grace we need, all the power we need, all the love we need, all the instruction. He gives us preachers and pastors and evangelists and teachers and the Holy Spirit and Jesus and given us everything that we need to build a house that will stand. But if we don't take care of, take those materials and build this house up, it won't stand. You know, it won't stand. It won't stand. If you don't take care of the little things, if you don't live a careful life, and if you don't live a sincere life, if you don't guard your sacrifice, you don't measure up on these little things, so called. You won't never measure up on the big things. That's where the problem. A little cutting of the hair, a little shortening of the dress. Pride slips in. I've seen it happen in this congregation, man. I've seen people that had good experiences with the Lord, and I've seen pride get on them. That's the trouble. It may not be so bad. Well, it is bad. It is bad. Anything that will lead to backsliding is bad, isn't it? You sisters, you need to be careful. I advocate. I like to see people take care of their body. I like to see people. If you want to lose weight, I encourage you to do that. If you're overweight, nothing wrong with that. But you need to be real careful when you start buying them new clothes, that you don't get a little pride in that shape you've got. Amen. I have seen sisters backslide over this thing, and I know how bad it is. I know how bad it is. Oh, that's not right. A little pride. At first, there's nothing wrong with losing weight. And there's nothing wrong with looking neat and nice. There's nothing wrong with that. God wants us to look that way. He wants our clothes. I'm not talking about dressing sloppy and your dress dragging the ground, all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about dressing modest and clean and neat and appearance and those kind of things. But you be careful. You be careful when you start wanting to look too pretty. Pride will get in your heart. A little folly. Just a little folly. And the first thing you know, you're going to be decking yourself up a little bit. And then you just have your hair. I believe in people, and sisters, and men. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. It's a shame. The little going around hair hanging down over the collars and all that kind of stuff. That's a shame. That's a reproach on a man, manhood. Amen. That's what the Bible says. That's what it says. But you just take a little bit. A little bit. You let just a little pride get in you. And the first thing you know, you're going to be proud. And the first thing you know, the Bible said that God resists the proud. God don't bless the proud. God don't help the proud. God don't answer the proud prayer. He resists them. But He gives grace to the humble. What kind of merchandise? What kind of material are you building?
Where in the Bible says, where is the house that you built for me?
Yeah. Would your house stand the test this morning?
Would your house stand the test?
Amen. Like I said earlier, it affects your faith.
careless memory, you can't have no faith. The Bible said in 1 John 3 or something along there, it said, if our heart condemneth, God is greater than our heart. Thank God for condemnation sometimes. But it said, if our heart condemneth not, then have we confidence in God. That whatever we ask of Him, we receive of Him. Because we keep His commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. In other words, I'm saying this. If you and I, if we live a careless, lax, sleepy, slothful life, we will not have no faith. Because we will not have confidence. Amen? If our heart condemneth not, then are we confident. But what did it say? I can turn that around and I can say, if my heart condemn me, I will have no confidence. See what I'm saying? Did you see how little things are big things? Just a little folly will keep me from having faith that I will have. Amen? You sit down and watch some kind of show, worldly entertainment, and then you get out and pray. You see what kind of prayer you can pray. Amen. Amen. You just try. No, I don't want you to try. But if you see it, and you just go on, and you don't be diligent in your prayer life. You don't be diligent in going to service. You don't be diligent in prayer. You don't be diligent in watching. You don't be diligent in working for God and serving God and doing the thing of God. And then you sit down and pray. See how far, see how high your prayers will go. Won't go very high, will it? You know what you're going to have to do? You have to repent yourself first. You're not in a condition to pray for anybody else. I've told you this a lot of times. We lived over there. Something happened, and I felt like I had grieved the Lord. And I was praying about it and went to bed with it and couldn't sleep with it. And about that time, Brother Ed and Wilson lived there in Danville at that time, I believe it was. And they called, said somebody over here wants help or get saved or sick or something or other. Come over and pray for it. Here I am. Here I am trying to get straightened up with God. Somebody wants me to pray for this. I couldn't go over there and pray for them until I first got the victory myself. You can't do anything. You can't have no faith. You won't be able to stand. And I'm going to make it more serious. You won't be able to go to heaven if you just live a slothful life. A lazy, slothful, lack of push and press, and just, I say again, and I've preached this for years, and one woman used to really get after me for preaching this, I still say it's mighty hard. I won't say it's impossible, but it's mighty hard for a lazy person to live for God. It is. It's hard. And so it is this morning. Just a little folly. Just a little foolishness. Now, you know me. I'm not the kind that sits around with a long face all the time. Try not to, anyway. And there's nothing wrong with having a sense of humor and being entertaining and good, clean, and conversation and laughing. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. Laughing is like good medicine, the Bible said. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when it gets to the place where it's foolishness, Bible said about jesting or joking. The Bible said something about abstaining. I seen an ad in the paper yesterday and a few days ago. And it was talking about used to boys didn't want to be Rambo, and they didn't want to be some of these here space cover. They want to be cowboys. Well, you know, my heart has always wanted to be a cowboy. I always wanted to be a cowboy. Well, I noticed down in Huntington they got a rodeo down there. And I said, why do you think if I went to the rodeo, you know, I'm kind of a cowboy at heart? Well, she said, I couldn't go. I couldn't. Well, I can't go either. Well, it's not because of that, but I wouldn't be able to go anyway. God help us this morning.
Just a little thought. It don't take very much. It don't take very much. And men, look at all that's happened.
Read the history of Rome if you want to.
That's right.
Rome, the old saying, didn't fall in a day. And our nation, listen, our nation didn't get as corrupt as it is in a day. Amen.
I can remember in my short lifetime when people had more of the fear of God.
I can remember when there was more respect for the older people.
I can remember when there was more respect for the ministers.
Amen.
I can remember when children respect older people more than they do. I can remember all that. Somewhere we lost that. Where did we lose it at?
Where did we lose it at?
Do you know? I know where we lost it. This country, I mean.
We lost it at World War II.
Yeah.
Right after World War II. Women went out on the job, and it was an emergency, I guess it had to be at that time.
They went out and worked in the defense plants and built the ships and the planes, and they got used to making that big money and getting their paycheck. And when the war was over, they didn't want to go back home. They stayed on the job. But now, there are more women working in the United States than there are men. 51% of the workforce in the United States is women. Public works, I'm talking about.
What brought that on? It brought out a bunch of children that had no training. They had no motherly love. They had no fatherly security. And they grew up, and then right after that, television came along. And they stuck them before the television, and that's where they're raised. That was their babysitter. And that's what the world did today. It didn't happen in a day. It took 40-some years for it to get as bad as it is right now. God help us this morning. I'm blaming our little children. I'm blaming us grown-ups.
We're the one. You say, my child, I can't do a thing with it.
How come? You're the one brought it into the world. You're the one who had it when it was able to take care of itself.
Let's don't blame the child, blame herself.
God help us this morning. Now, I know there is exception sometimes. Certain kind of children have certain problems sometimes, other things like that. And sometimes the very best you can do, a child will be rebellious. Sometimes the very best you can do. Some of the saints that lived this life and father and mother both were saved and taught their child the very best. Turned out to be a rebellious child. I don't have an answer for that. But I do have an answer for it. And I asked somebody just recently who had grown up in the saints, taught around the family altar, going out into the world, got filled up with pride. Amen. You get pride. I remember a little girl, and we won't mention her name because you'd know who I'm talking about, years ago. And she was just young. She wanted to live for the Lord. She had a struggle. And she'd go to the altar. And she had a change of apparel. The Bible says, teaches about having a change of apparel. Some folks have clothes that they wear to church and another kind that they wear at home. Amen? If it ain't good enough to wear at home, church, it ain't good enough to wear at home. May the Lord help us. But some people have a change of apparel. And like I say, they dress one place when they're around some kind of people, and they dress another way when they're around other kinds of people. And that's the way this girl was. When she go to camp meeting, she dressed like a saint. And when she got back home, she dressed a little like the world a little bit. So anyway, she came to the altar one night, and she was praying and weeping and crying, and we was praying with her, and she just all of a sudden stopped. And she said, "Can you preachers cast this spirit of pride out of me?" Yes, we can do that. And the preachers laid hands on her and delivered her from that spirit of pride. And that young lady is still living for God today. She is a real example for God. Has been for years. God help us. Just a little pride. I remember how she used to slip around and clip her hair when her mother wasn't watching. And she'd wear her skirts to school, and then they'd be down there, and then she'd up and roll them up a few times when she got to school. The Lord help us. See a little folly, a little slumber, a little sleep.
So shall thy poverty be.
And we come down to stand before the Lord. And he says he's coming back after a church without spot or blameless or any such thing. How are we going to stand? God bless you this morning. May the Lord help us. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? God lives in our body.
He notices how we dress. He notices what we eat, what we drink, where we go, what we do.
Let's be very sensitive about what we do, what we say. I agree with Brother Orr. CEO, not Victor Orr, CEO. If you're right now in a place to where you can do so-called little things, and you've got a light and understanding on these things, and you can just go ahead and ride over that and do those things without feeling bad, you need help from the Lord this morning. You need some help from God, because you're on the way to greater ones. When you can do this, what does the Bible say something about searing our conscience with a hot iron? Do you realize this morning that there are people in this world that could take a gun and shoot you dead and not even feel bad about it? Have no feelings at all. No feelings. No condemnation whatsoever. Just bang, dead, that's all there is.
What has happened?
They have seared their conscience. They have rejected God. They rejected instruction. They rejected advice. They rejected counsel. They rejected the Lord. They rejected their parents, no doubt, and many other things till they have no feelings. See how dangerous it is? When you ride over your conscience one time. I can only remember one time in 32 years that I actually rode over my conscience a little bit. I still remember that day. But when you know that something is grievous to God, and you know the Bible teaches against it, and you got light and understanding of it, and you ride over that, your conscience, you're getting ready. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. When my wife growed up, she was a modest girl all of her life. She was mean when she was young, but she was modest. But anyway, not mean, but I mean, like most young people. But anyway, it's a vain story. But when we got married, my fault again, she didn't wear shorts. She did not wear shorts. She wore dresses, and she wore modest dresses, even for his sake. Amen. And she grew up, and we moved to Ohio. And we got up there around all this other stuff. And through me, I was encouraged to wear shorts. I wanted her to be like the other women, you know. I was no worldly-minded fellow. Well, first, she started wearing shorts in the house, the barn. Well, nobody sees you, I guess. If nobody's going to come knock on, if you've got a bathroom right back close somewhere or another, somebody comes to the door, I'd hate for, wouldn't want somebody to come in and find me too undressed. But anyway, she got the iron. She put her shorts on, working the house. And then she got to go down in the backyard. We'd have a picnic or work in the flower garden or something. We'd go out in the yard. You know what happened? Later on, she got to go to town, walking right down the street. A little folly. Just a little bit. Don't feel bad, sorry. But just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And pretty soon, you can do it and not even feel bad. Do you realize there are people living right in this world who have seared their conscience, and they're going right down through this life deceived and think they're saved and going to feel like they're going to go to heaven and going to wake up in hell? Do you know there's people like that? Do you know the Bible speaks about some people in the book of Jude, about some preachers who fell from angels, which talk about ministers, that fell from their first estate, went back from what they stood for, compromised, led down, deceived the people, and the Bible, and they went right on preaching, Church of God, Church of God. I've heard people preach the message of the Church of God just as good as, I mean, as far as the words are concerned, just same as the saint preachers. Some of them living in adultery. Had a man come through among the saints back some number of years ago, maybe before our time, I guess. No, I guess it was. But anyway, he come through and he supposed to come out among the saints, and he was quite a preacher, and he got it going out through there and made a swipe through, help meeting in this place and that place and that place. Come down there in North Carolina, and they loaded him up with a carload of food and money and everything like that, and they found out he was living in double marriage. He was living in adultery. Yeah, adultery's wrong. You're only allowed one, that's all. If you got a living husband, a living wife, that's all you have, that's all you ever will have until one of them dies. Amen? So what I'm trying to say is, you can sear your conscience. And the Bible said these people who left their first estate is reserved in chains of darkness until the judgment. These preachers that have done these things will go right on preaching the Bible, much of it anyway, and going to wake up in hell. Amen? It's not a light thing to do a little thing, so-called. Riding over our conscience, careless, indifferent, disobedient, won't take advice, won't take counsel, won't listen to what God has to say. You're assuring your conscience and preparing yourself for a state of mind of your own. And listen, Brother Archer Souter said that most people that backslide don't ever acknowledge. They just go on professing. Go on professing. God help us this morning. Let us be stirred in our hearts. I know this might sound a little different, but I'm burdened about this thing. I'm concerned about this thing. And I want to see you folks grow. And I want you to be able to stand. I want you to be able to carry a burden. Be pillars in the Church of God. This is the truth. Men have died for it. Jesus died for it. Men have given their lives for it. And I'm giving a good part of my life for it too. I want to see it go on. We got folks right here in the congregation that's got their life on the line. God don't heal them, they're going to die. Amen. One old sister said, if the Lord don't heal me, it won't get done. If the Lord don't heal me, it ain't going to be healed. That's the kind of stand. We need to take a heck of stand. I want to die if necessary. God won't let us come if we're not able to die. But it all depends on what kind of material we're putting in our house. Yes. May the Lord help.